Today. In Mark chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And then look down in verse number 14. The Bible says there, actually I didn't read verse 9. In verse 9 said, and he said to them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In verse 14, it's an explanation of what he just taught in the parable. And he says this, and Jesus said this, it said, And the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entereth in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray once again as preaching goes forth, you speak to our hearts. I pray we feel your presence here today. Lord, we know nothing will be accomplished without you and your presence. And so we'll commit it into your care and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message this morning is Hard Heads and Cluttered Hearts. Familiar text, as I said a few minutes ago. Jesus taught in parables a lot. And the disciples even asked him about the reason why he taught in parables. And one of the reasons that Jesus gave was this. He said, I'm going to tell you why I teach in parables, because I want it to be easy to understand on the one hand, but not so obvious. Jesus wants the person that's really looking for the truth, the person that's really trying to find the answer to things, he wants them to be able to find it, but he doesn't want the casual or the non-observant or the person who's not that interested to see the words of truth. And when he taught in this parable here, most of the time, a lot of his parables started this way. It said the kingdom of heaven is like or likened, and then he would go on and teach a parable. But in this case, he didn't say that. He said the kingdom of God begins. He's talking about the beginning of the kingdom of God. And he tells this parable of a sower that has seed, and he goes out and he sows the seed, and it falls on different types of soil, and obviously it had some different kinds of results. And he went on to say this, that the sower is originally Jesus Christ himself, but in this day and time, the sower could be anybody that goes out and shares the gospel with other people. And the seed is the word of God. Now, all the fellows, I gave little cup. Everybody's got some seeds out there. I want you guys to, everybody hand out the seeds. I want everybody to get one little seed. I want you to hold on to this thing now and don't lose it. Don't eat it. Hold on to this. Lester's got, there's people all around the church got a little seed. I'll give you all one. Lester's got some. Everybody gets one. Don't lose it. It's important. Little demonstration. Look, he done lost his already. He's lost. It means he's lost. If you drop your seed, it means you lost. James, you get one. Who ain't got it? Who needs a seed yet? I kind of got different ones, so I'd save some time. I got everybody passing them out. Didn't want to have to call all the ushers. Oh, you didn't get much of a seed. Then let me get you a bigger seed. How we doing? Y'all need them? Philip's falling down on job back here on this side. Oh. You got one? Everybody got one? You can have it. Everybody over here got one? All right. Shh. All right, we're back on track. Everybody look at your seed. Put it there in the palm of your hand and look at that. Now I know, I'm going to set mine right there because I'll lose it. You know, and I know we're not stupid, and we all know, everybody knows how seeds work, right? You know, we know that you take those things and you plant them, and they grow. And you know, there's so many things in the world that we take for granted, and that we don't really think about kind of the mystery or the, I don't know, we always talk about we shouldn't use the word awesome except with God. Maybe it'll apply here, the awesomeness of this. But I want you to know something, that there is life in that seed. Now you think about that. Look at that thing. Everybody hold up their seed, hold their seed and look at it. That there is life in that seed. Now anybody see anything going on with your seed? Anybody got corn coming up over there? But you think about that. There's life in the seed. My great-grandmother, they lived in the country and they would grow things, and she'd have these bags of seeds out in her shed. And I think they came over on the Mayflower, probably been that old. But you could go in there, and you know how you can keep seeds, I guess, forever. And then you get those things out, and you can plant them. And the fact that something comes out of there alive. Now, you know, we know it. See, that's just common knowledge to us all. But when you really start thinking about it, that there's some kind of life in that. But it's not doing anything. I'm looking at mine, and it's not. What's going on? Anybody's moving, kicking, breathing, growing? Do anything? It's not doing a thing. It's just sitting there. All right, now we got the Bible. The seed was compared to the Word of God. And he says right here, here's the Word of God. God's words. There it is. Same place the seed was. And the Bible, and the Bible's clear on this, and we that are saved, we know this, but there is life in this book right here. There's life in it. But I'm just looking, and nothing's happening. You know, I got the, this is the words of life. There's life in this book just like there's life in that sea. Now, I can carry this Bible around all over the place, and nothing happens. I can take it home, and I can set it on my coffee table. And dust it off every now and then so it looks like, you know, I looked at it. And I'm going to show you just in a little while here at the end of this message, but I'm going to tell you another thing I can do. I can read it. I can believe it and still not have spiritual life. Still be lost. But there's life there, and so something has to happen with the seed. And something's got to happen with the Word of God for the life to come forth. So you know how the seed works. You've got to take the seed out and you've got to get the soil prepared and you've got to put it in the ground. You've got to plant it. And there's a difference between having that seed in your hand. Right now, anybody's got any corn growing in their hand? Nobody's got it, right? There's a difference between seed, but you got the seed. You've got it in your hand. You've got something that's got life within it in your hand, but nothing's happening with you. Nothing's happening with that seed. We've got the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you what, there's life in the Word of God, and I've got it in my hand right here. But I'm going to tell you, nothing's going to happen until I get the Word of God planted. Huh? It's got to be planted in my heart. And so we see in our text, there's life in that seed, and there's life in the Word of God, but it's got to be planted, it's got to be watered, and it's got to be planted in good soil. There's not any problem with the sower. There's nothing wrong with the sower. And there's nothing wrong with the seed. I got a little side illustration I could use with that. I started thinking about this. That is Orville Redenbacher's popcorn seed. And that one little seed by itself, this is a good illustration for the church. That one little seed by itself isn't much, is it? But if I get all y'all to put all your seeds back together, we can run in there and stick it in the microwave. See, now you can take your one seed and put it in the microwave, it'll pop and you'll have one thing of popcorn. But if we get everybody's seed together and put it in the microwave, we'll have a whole bunch of popcorn. It's kind of like a good picture of the church that God put together, you know, that we'd have something, a more powerful force. But anyway, no extra charge for that. That's just a side lesson that comes along with this one. But the problem's not in the sower, the problem's not in the seed. The problem is in the ground where the seed gets sown. Now, I'll tell you what, you can't grow. I tried to grow tomato plants up at my house. I live kind of in the woods. And a couple years ago, remember I told you all about planting three tomato plants? And I took care of them. I only got three. I was out there picking any little bug off. I did all the little things you're supposed to do. Guess how many tomatoes I got off three tomato plants? One, and it had a hole in it. One tomato out of all the things, man. I mean, you know what I'd say? It wasn't anything wrong with the seeds, I don't think. It wasn't anything wrong with the sower. Not being too smart, probably. But there was something wrong with that ground out there. And it didn't get enough sunlight, mainly the problem with those tomatoes. But you know how it works. There's all kinds of ground. And if you're smart, my dad's house here just this past week, he had got a well put in, and the trench kind of caved in on the thing where, you know, it finally settled down. And so I went down and got some dirt. Man, I mean, this stuff, Sherry said, boy, is that cow manure and that stuff smell? I said, that's what rich dirt smells like. And boy, I put that stuff, it's black. And I put it in that old mountain soil up there, and I got it all done right. And I put all the seeds down, and I put straw down on top of them. They're on good soil, and a lot of seeds fell on the other sides. I'm going to water, 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 but I'll bet you anything, it's going to be a lot more growing on, going on in that black good dirt than is going on in that old mountain, rough-looking, I don't even know what color it is, almost white dirt on the other side. It's not going to grow that well, so it just depends. The problem, you see, it is with the hearts of the hearers. When it comes to the sowing of the Word of God, listen, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with the people in most cases that are sowing the gospel, what they're trying to do. But the problem is in the ground that the Word of God gets sown in. And so we got several hearts. We saw four hearts there, and we're going to look at those this morning. The number one, the first one in verse 15, we see the hard heart. It said in verse 15 of chapter 4, it said, "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now, I'll show you something at the end of it all, but all of them heard it. Everybody, all the hearers, they were all hearers. They all heard the word of God. And you know, sometimes I got the thing in the hard heart. Sometimes it's the head that's hard and not the heart. It never makes it down to the heart because the head is so hard that doesn't get that far. But in this case, and keeping with the text, it's a hard heart. Now, I want you to understand something. Satan doesn't care how much Bible we learn as long as we don't live it. Satan don't care. See, so you can come to church till you're blue in the face. You can come to every service we have. You can go to outside Bible studies, do them at home on your own, do them on the internet. You can study the Word of God, and it doesn't bother Satan a bit. As long as you don't live it. See, there's a difference there because, see, you can, it's what you hear is academic. But it'll never get into the heart. Academic will never get in the heart until it's practiced by the will. And that's where the difference is. Because I say this all the time, and I believe with all my heart. I know that when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, that he quoted Scripture to him. Now, he misquoted it a little bit, but he knew he was misquoting. I believe Satan knows more Scripture than we do. I believe he can quote most of the Bible, if not all the Bible. He knows it, but he's still Satan. He's not saved. He's lost. He knows. He's got it academically, but it's not in his heart. Satan knows that academic truth is not dangerous, but active truth is. That's where the danger is, in active truth. See, so it gets in them old hard heads sometimes, but sometimes the heart is harder than the head, and it doesn't get there. The heart can become hard. Wayside soil. You know what wayside soil was? The definition in the Bible, the biblical definition was when they planted fields, and those of you that have gardens or if you had big crops of fields, they didn't walk through the middle of where they plowed. They had paths that went around the sides or the edges of the field. That's where everybody walked. Well, you know, it wasn't like it is where you tilled the soil and plowed and did all the hoeing and all that. That soil was loose and it looked good. But over there where everybody walked all the time, it gets packed down, and it got packed down real hard. And what happens with people today in the world today, they've got their heart opened up to any and every thing and any and every person, and that, and there's so many people walking on their hearts that they've created a hard path. And see, when the Word of God, listen, it scares me to no end. When I've seen this over and over and over again in my years in ministry, when you start dealing with somebody and they're listening to the Word of God, but you know they're those ones, your spirit's just telling you, they haven't quite got it. They're just right there. They're listening. They're hearing what you say and the Word of God's there, but they won't let it penetrate their heart. It's just laying up on the surface. And you know, with some seeds, if you leave them laying up on the surface, what happened? The stinking birds fly down there and get them and nothing grows out of it. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you don't let the Word of God get from your head to your heart, but you keep dragging around with that seed laying up on top of your heart, Satan's going to come and he's going to snatch that away. And buddy, I've seen the cults move in. And buddy, them cults will move in just like that. And I mean, and they'll believe a lie before they'll believe a truth. Huh? Somebody said a lie will go all the way around the world before the truth gets its shoes on. And it's amazing. And it's Satan snatching away. And next thing you know, they don't believe what you've been telling them. They won't believe it. They'll listen to something else. And so it's dangerous when our hearts get influenced by everything out there in the world. But you older folks know about this. The slickest path around the house was the one that went out the back door to that little building that set out back. Some of y'all going, what's he talking about? Huh? Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about, right? But you know what was at the other end of that path, don't you? I'm going to tell you what, that's the same thing that's at the other end of all those paths that the world is trampling on your heart. It's nothing but a bunch of garbage down at the other end. Huh? Listen, don't let your heart become so hard. Let everything, and don't open your heart up to everything out there in the world, but you need to open up your heart to the Word of God. The second heart we see in the Bible there is the shallow heart in verse 16, it says, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Look at that. That always amazes me. Immediately receive it with gladness. But it says, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arise. For the word's sake, immediately they are offended. I got to redo this. Air conditioning running hard. Pouring the sweat. The shallow heart, this represents the emotional hearer. Notice it said when they heard the word, they were glad. And they received it with gladness. Satan counterfeits everything that God does. Everything. Even emotional experience. I mean, you can get, man, listen, I could do things to get emotions out of you. If I start crying, half of you in here start crying. It's true. Yeah. If I start laughing real hard, you start laughing. You know, what's he laughing about? I don't know. What are you laughing at? He's laughing. I don't know. You know, I can make you do it. Oh, man, I can. Listen, you know how you're preaching the Word of God, and if you ever hear some slicked up things like on the internet or on TV, listen, I can start talking like this and talking to you about how God loves you, and it sounds good. But if I had somebody playing some nice little music over there while I'm talking to you, that real, it just kind of. Doesn't that just do a little bit more for you than just the intellectual part? You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. I just can't get Marge to get on key with what I'm going to do. Thought maybe like if I said, and God said, dun-dun, you know, that would be good. On the organ right there, that would be good. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, we got emotions. God gave them to us and we got to deal with them. I'm going to tell you what, Satan can counterfeit it. And you get them old goosebumps running up and down your spine, doesn't mean God put them there. Satan counterfeit, and you get all excited. Boy, that thing, man, that sounds good, and everything sounds good about it, but you really haven't looked into it that deep and without counting the cost and seeing about carrying your cross and talking about repentance and those things. And what happens is, as time goes by, there's no root there. As time passes, interest wanes. See, the sun comes up, it says, and scorches the root. And the sun represents trials and persecutions. Now, for the true believer, the true saved person, see, trials and persecutions, I mean, even though they bother you, and even though you go through them, but I'm going to tell you what happens, they do cause you to grow, the true Christian. Because what happens is, you know, when the sun comes up on your plants, and if you've ever planted anything on shallow soil, you know, you constantly have to water it, because for one thing, there's no depth there. But what happens is roots go down and the plant goes up. And boy, when the plant's going up good, the roots are going down good. But when there's no, when it's shallow and there's rock underneath there, it's very shallow, the top will start to grow, but the roots don't grow, and the sun comes out and it dries it up. And so for the person that's not a true believer, they've listened to the word, they heard it, they really like it, but there's no root there. It's really not in their hearts. It's only in their head. When the sun comes up, the trials and persecutions come, man, they run away from it. I've had people say, boy, preacher, I'll tell you what, every time I start trying to do what God wants me to do, it just seems like things get worse. So therefore, I'm going to quit doing what God wants me to do. You don't have any root. You don't think the plants are out there saying, like right now, oh, there's the sun. We don't want the sun. No, they want it. Because it causes, yeah, it's hot. But it causes growth, and the roots grow, and the leaves grow. And so because of what Satan does, see, he can cause people to think, really, the shallow heart, that they're saved. But see, what happens is God says, listen, I want trials. Listen, trials, when God sends trials to his people or to any people, it's always got a good result, a good reason for it. I'm going to tell you what, the wheat and the tares are going to get sorted out. And what the trials are, they're going to show you some things. Listen, man, if you run away from God when the trials come, I'm going to tell you what, there's a problem with your salvation. I'm not saying that there's, you know, we always do what God would have us to do, and even as Christians, sometimes we don't exercise the faith that we're supposed to have. I know that, but I'm talking about overall as a whole, and generally speaking, that's what God's doing. You think you're saved? Listen, wouldn't it be awful to sit in a church week in, week out, year in, year out? You think you're saved, but you're not, and God never did anything to show you otherwise? That'd be a terrible thing. Because there's lots of people sitting in churches that think everything's okay. Huh? But listen, God sends a trial along or a persecution or he sends some heat, and he wants you to see, listen, it's not a reality in your heart, so that you'll go ahead and take the next step and make sure that your salvation is a reality. Trials and persecution always expose a false profession. And then we see there's a crowded heart. It says in verse 18, 19, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And I think that most of the hearts in the world today are like this heart right here, more so than a lot of the other heart. I mean, there's people that fit the description of all the hearts, but I think there's more hearts that fall under this category right here, the crowded heart. This is the person that hears and likes what he hears, but he never repents. There's never been a change in his life. And I've asked people this. I said, you know, since you got saved, since the day you got saved, what has changed in your life? And a lot of them are, you know, trying to think of it. What have you gotten out of your life that needed to get out? And what has come into your life that needed to come in since the day you made a profession? See, the crowded heart, the way the world is today, we don't want to get rid of anything. That's not in the philosophy of the world. That's not in the psychology of the world. The psychology of the world is get, get, get. And I've got all this other stuff. I've got all my other baggage. And then somebody says, listen, you need Jesus. Okay, let me get this all held up here and I'll get him. Huh? We don't want to lay nothing down. I said before, taking up the cross is a two-handed job. You can't do it. And so we just want to add Jesus to this life that we've got, and we want to keep everything. We're not repenting or forsaking anything. He said, nah, it's not going to work. You know, if you go out there and sow a garden and how they grow and you go out there with a hoe. I remember my great-grandmother and all my great-aunt and uncle, they would go out there and they would hoe all the weeds. Boy, any little blade of grass. Because if you didn't mess with it, it's a big old jungle in there because you've been putting all that fertilizer and other stuff. Everything grows. Everything grows. And where's all the vegetables? They can't hardly grow because they get choked out. Vines and things will choke them out. It's the same way, listen, in your life. Listen, the cares, the riches, the pleasures. And this is the heart that's probably the closest to salvation. But there's still no fruit because there's too many different kinds of seeds planted there. You can't, you know, when you space them out, I don't know hardly anything about garden. I just know a few things. But I know with certain plants, you know, you space them out. Potatoes, you know, they bush out. You put one and you go so far and you put another one and you go so far and you put another piece of potato in there. Certain seeds, you do that. Why? Because if you plant them all too close together, they're too cramped up. Nothing can happen. There's no growth. There can be no growth there because things are too crowded. And it's the same way in the spiritual realm of things. Listen, because our hearts are so cluttered, and these hearts here are so cluttered with all the other things of the world, there's no fruit. But then it said in verse 20, there's one more heart there. These are they which sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. These are the true believers. How do we know? Because it says right there, they produce fruit. The evidence is a changed life. People tell me all the time, well, I'm saved. I don't have any doubt about my salvation. Well, what in your life is the evidence of that salvation? What's given you that? Because I'm going to tell you something else. Satan can counterfeit peace. Huh? He can make you think everything's all right when it's not. And that wouldn't be the peace nowhere near what God can counter give you. But if you don't know the real thing, you know, you'll take the false one every time, right? And so God, Satan can counterfeit peace. He can make you feel like everything's okay. What are you looking at? What's the evidence? Oh, well, preacher, because I came down there one time, you had an invitation, and I came down there to the altar, and I asked the Lord to save me. That's what you do, or one of the things you can do to get saved, calling on the name of the Lord, but that's not the evidence of your salvation. If all you got for evidence of your salvation is, I got baptized, I came down the aisle and asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, if that's all the evidence in your life, I'd be getting a little bit nervous. Because see, you can say, well, listen, I got that little seed. Y'all still got your little seeds? Anybody got any corn plant coming up out of there yet? Anybody growing corn, got some ears of corn we going to roast up here? Don't have it, do you? You know, if you got, that's all you got, listen, I take that seed and I stick it in the ground, and it don't grow, I'll sit there and look at it and water it, and the sun comes up, and I watch. What am I thinking? What happens if it don't, wouldn't happen if nothing comes up? What are you thinking? That thing is dead. It's rotten. It's no good. That seed wasn't any good. Now, we already determined there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. We already determined there's nothing wrong with God. Some of us sowers are a little shaky, but there's nothing wrong with the sower, the original one. I can tell you that right now. But there's nothing wrong there. So if you say, listen, preacher, I got the Word of God and it's in my heart and it's planted on good ground, I know I'm saved, no doubt about it, but I'm sitting there looking and I don't see anything growing out of there, something's wrong. Huh? See, so the evidence is not, oh, I came down the aisle, or I got baptized, or I got a certificate, or I'm on the church membership roll. The evidence is there's some fruit in your life. And it said there was different. It said some 30, some 60, some 100. Not everybody's producing all they could. I'll be in that category. I'll admit it. I'm not doing everything I could do. I could do better. I'm not nowhere near 100-fold, but I got something coming out of my life. Huh? There's a lot of difference between me and when I got saved. There's a lot more fruit being produced. Huh? Some of it's rotten. There's a lot more fruit. There's some evidence there. That's the evidence of a changed life. It's not a profession. It's not any action of works on our part. It's just that the fruit comes out. Listen, man, that seed isn't sitting there thinking, man, I'm gonna bust out of here. I'm gonna shoot into a corn stalk. Man, no, it's just natural. Listen, man, when you think, well, man, nobody's gonna think I'm saved. I gotta go out here and do something good so everybody'll think I'm saved. Listen, man, I'm gonna tell you what, if you're really saved, you don't even have to think like that, because you're just gonna do what? You're gonna do some. You have some good works. Naturally. It's natural. Each of these hearts, each of the three hearts that didn't produce any fruit, they were influenced by a different enemy. The hard heart, the devil himself, the Bible says, snatched away the seed. The shallow heart was counterfeit religious feelings. In other words, there was really no saving faith. You know, a lot of times people say, well, they don't have any faith. They don't have any faith. That's not true. Everybody's got faith. Everybody's got faith. Faith's not the problem. The object of faith is a problem. See, everybody's got faith. Everybody jumped in their car this morning, pretty good faith. I mean, I know it's all different depending on what you were driving, but everybody had pretty good faith that the car was going to get them down here this morning, or you wouldn't have got in and turned the key, right? Everybody, you plopped down in them chairs right there, pretty confident they were going to hold you up. You had faith. That's not saving faith, though. See, the object of the faith is the difference between a saved person and a lost person is the object of their faith. What are they placing their everyday faith in? And so, you know, and back in the other one of the illustrations, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And if you say you have faith, I'm going to tell you what, God's going to test it. And when God tests it, listen, if you pass the test, And then you got saving faith. And then we see there was a crowded heart, things of this world, a cluttered heart, the devil, the flesh, all three things. Listen, the devil, the flesh, and the world all competing for hearts. They're all competing for hearts. Now here's a little scary part. This is the last little thing. I'm going to close here in just a second. This is the scary part for me when I thought about it. In the illustration that Jesus gave, all the hearts heard the word. Said he went and sowed. He sowed. Everybody heard. I believe this. Now, you might disagree with me. I believe they all believed the word. They didn't have a problem with the word. I believe that this devil himself believes the word. He knows it's true. He knows it's the truth. There's no doubt about it in his mind. God's proved it to him over and over and over and over again. But now he's not, you know, that word believe, that can be a complicated word. I mean, he's not trusting in it. He's not putting saving faith in it. And probably at this point cannot, but here's the scary part for us. They all heard it. And everybody here, you're here in church on Sunday morning, here you are. And I just preach the Word of God to you, and I've got the Word of God. And if I ask everybody, y'all believe the Word of God. Everybody in here say, yeah, we believe the Word of God. Everybody that he preached, all them other three hearts, they heard it. They believed it in the intellectual sense. But only one fourth of the people, boy, this is, I don't know if this is encouraging or discouraging, but if you've been preaching a long time or you've been working in Christian ministry a long time and you're just trying to get everybody saved, listen, Jesus went out and sowed and only one fourth of everybody that heard what he had to say got saved. Three quarters of them didn't. Broad way, narrow way, few and many. It's scary today. So I want you to, your problem today, listen, if you're here lost, it's not your hearing. I know you can hear me. Most of you, maybe Bill back there can't hear me. It's not your believing. The problem is this, it's doing the will of God from the heart. That's what God wants from us. Doing the will of God from the heart. The evidence of salvation is obeying the Word of God. Amen. Let's all stand our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. And I know the word's gone forth this morning and we've all heard. Hearing's not our problem. And Lord, I believe everyone here believes your word today. Lord, but I know there's some hearts yet that haven't received your word. And Lord, I pray they get it from their head to their heart, 18 inches away from salvation. Lord, 18 inches away from eternal life. I pray that it gets from the head to the heart. Lord, and be sown in good ground. A ground that's been prepared by you. And so, Lord, we'll commit the invitation time to you. And it's my prayer, Lord, if there's one or more here that's lost, realized it today, that perhaps they only had an intellectual knowledge or maybe a counterfeit religious experience, Lord, that today will be the day they come to the altar, call on your name, and be eternally saved. We'll commit that to your care. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.